Guilty pleasure to me sounds like eating too much chocolate.
Okay, I'll have to make a confession here.
Yeah.
I have a guilty pleasure currently, and it is watching the Novela das Sete.
Oh.
Our soap opera that, is on around 7 p.m., which is called Chi Chi Chi. It's a guilty pleasure.
There you go. There you go. That's, yeah. And I think everyone deserves a little bit of a guilty pleasure like that, right?
Yeah, so what's yours,
Active.
Steve?
What's mine? I wish I had one, but I guess it would be maybe playing the guitar. I don't really have much free time, so I guess my guilty pleasures are small. Yeah, maybe playing the guitar, writing some music, singing some songs. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure that qualifies, but
Oh, okay.
it's
How about
that's
eating some
not guilty.
chocolate? Okay, eating some
Okay.
chocolate.
All right. You can feel guilty
Nice
about
glass
eating
of
some chocolate.
wine.
Okay, yeah, I'll let it slide this
Okay.
time. And spoilers, I see this word a lot when I'm reading forums, our discussion threads for TV shows, they always have like a spoiler thread, which is the only place where you can discuss, really spoilers, right? Stuff that has not been shown on any episodes yet, but people know because they have read something on magazines.
Right.
And so they go on the spoiler thread and they talk about it.
Okay, so that's good. So that's implicit that in that context, it's something like you're getting information actually before the movie is shown. It could spoil the surprise, right? Like
Yes,
if they talk in
exactly.
some thread about what's going to happen at the end of the new Harry Potter movie.
Yeah, and if you go to Amazon.com and if you read book reviews, you always see, like, it's very common, you see spoiler alert or warning, this review may contain spoilers. So you know that if you keep reading, you're going to learn something about the book that may spoil the surprise, exactly, or spoil the twist.
Right. And then you have a guilty pleasure because you'll feel good that you read it, but at the same time guilty because, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a good example. I think I'm one of the only people in the world who enjoys reading spoilers. Do you enjoy reading spoilers, or do you like to go knowing nothing, like zero, about the movie?
Yeah, especially nowadays, because sometimes it just seems that even like movie reviews, sometimes the movie will be completely different from the review. So I like to go with a, yeah, as you said, maybe not knowing anything about the movie.
All right, let's see what else we have. Well, Osvaldo is asking about interjections. And he gives us a few examples in Portuguese, like, Sério, não me diga. Or, Pequim fino, tá brincando. What would be your examples, Steve, in
Okay,
English?
yeah, the first one you gave me there, I came up with,
Sério?
really? Really? Are you serious? Não me diga irônico, would be get out of town, or maybe in California they might say no way. Or
Yeah.
you're kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're kidding. Yeah.
You're kidding.
Say, não me diga. Oh, I think there's one in English that's kind of like the same meaning. Like, you don't say. Like, really.
Really?
And what about até que enfim.
Finally, it's about time.
It's about time. It's about time we recorded this podcast, huh?
Yes. And then we, and then I could say, come on, you're pulling my leg.
You're pulling my
Come on. Or come on.
leg.
And then we
And
have the last one was Ufa, right? Phew. Oh, phew.
yeah, that one is not even a word in English, right? Like in
No,
Portuguese.
it's one you probably see written in cartoons or something like that in a little bubble. Yeah. But yeah. Phew.
Yeah,
Yeah.
how do you spell that?
I put here PHEW. Yeah.
All right.
Phew.
Okay.
Phew.
Okay, Osvaldo, how about that for a few examples of interjection? Hey, what about ouch? Is ouch an interjection?
Sure. Yeah, that's like an exclamation of pain. It's an exclamation. Ouch. You're exclaiming your pain. And I guess in Portuguese that would be different. Those are great. All of those. Yeah, like ouch, and then
Yeah, in
another
Portuguese
one
we
is
say ai.
ai or ui. And then what about when you accidentally drop something? In English we would say oops.
Good one.
And I guess in Portuguese, you guys would say what?
Ai, ee. I don't even know. I think, uh-oh, ish. Ee, desculpa. Oh.
Okay, there you
I
go.
think
There you go. Huh?
I would look around to see if anyone was watching. That's what I would do.
Okay. Awesome.
Oh, Marco, he has a question about adjetivos para faminto.
Yeah. Okay. I like his name, Marco Brainiac. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marcos, you have a big brain, which is great. You're going to get this answer in 3 seconds. Half starved. But in some series, I've heard I'm starved. I can use only starved instead of half starved. Well, no, half starved means that you're starting to get hungry, but yeah, you're not. Totally desperate that you're going to eat anything in front of you. So,
Whereas starved,
oh, starved. I
you
mean,
better get out of my way because
yeah,
you're
you
gonna
better.
be
Oh,
my
God,
next.
yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll eat anything, I mean, be careful. Some other ones, maybe like, I'm starving would be another popular one. And I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse.
That's like I don't know, an idiom, right, Steve?
Yeah, exactly. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Yeah.
So, do people use "I'm starving" and "I'm starved" interchangeably?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. He sent a second one, right, about punctuation.
Right. That's a very long question. That's a very brainiac question. And I mean, like in English, we use commas for many things. Particularly in writing, right? So one important thing, however, and this is more for academic writing, is not to use commas to connect two sentences together, with similar meaning. So many times I find with my experience that when I'm correcting writing, students will use a comma where they should use a semicolon. So if you have like two independent sentences with a similar idea, you could connect them with a semicolon. But using a comma, that would be incorrect. You shouldn't do that. Another good place to use commas is before but in the middle of a sentence. You can use commas, after long transitions at the beginning of a sentence, like, using however, nevertheless. It's a very complex question, but the first thing that came to my mind is that many of my students, coming from, different countries around the world, they have a tendency in their writing to use a comma, to separate two sentences, and they should use a semicolon. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's true. This is a very complex question.
Oh,
It could
yeah. Oh,
be, I
yeah.
don't know, maybe a series of
Yeah, oh, for
podcasts
sure.
or posts.
Jeez.
I think we have one last question.
Okay.
Wait. Oh, Ivan is asking about this expression "once upon a time," and he's asking why is it translated as "era uma vez." And I have to be honest, I don't know. I don't know how that expression was born. What do you think, Steve? "Once upon a time."
I do some classes with my students. Some of them are English teachers, and we do simultaneous translation sometimes. And one thing that we notice is that sometimes you're just trying to translate the meaning, but not necessarily word for word. So it might seem strange, but I mean, yeah, like when you say that, era uma vez, the translation into English, once upon a time, means more or less the same thing. Perhaps there would be another way to translate it. I'm sure there would. But that obviously is the one that they continue to use. And I'm sure you notice that, like with if you're following subtitles or, you know, like translation of movies, sometimes you can see that things could have been translated in another way. It's very subjective. So that is part of translation, is that you're translating meaning, not necessarily word for word. Yeah.
Yes. Steve, I think this is it. I
Yeah,
think
that
we're
was
done with it.
awesome.
Well, actually, too soon. Carlos sent a little question here. How to use ing in English? And that's another big topic, I
That's an
guess.
excellent question. It's an excellent question. And I have something to say about that, because I have heard some people trying to imitate the ing sound in relaxed American speech. So they'll say working, talking, which is great. You know, when we speak informally in American speech, we use that. The danger is to use that all the time. And I have heard some people, you know, they try to speak like a native speaker, and that becomes their normal, you know. So they say, well, you know, hi, Steve, I'm working on this and then I'm doing that. And I mean, here in North America, we use that to kind of sound cute, to sound informal sometimes. But, you know, not all the time. It's something that, you know, just like in Portuguese, you wouldn't be at work, you know, saying to your boss, can I have some dinheirinho? You know,
Oh, okay.
you know.
Okay.
So
Okay.
that's the equivalent in English. You should really try to pronounce the ing sound in English, semi-formal or formal context.
Okay. Can you say the two versions for
Right.
us?
Sure. So I am working. I'm
Okay.
working. So you can hear there's like it's more complete ing, you know,
Okay.
it's more elongated. And I'm working. So maybe that
Okay.
guy, that business executive, he is working on Wall Street. And maybe there's somebody who's working in the streets. Yeah. So you really want to be careful, because as I said, I have noticed some non-native speakers trying to sound like a native speaker and using working and doing for everything. Be careful.
Ah,
Yeah.
all right. Okay, good tip.
Yeah.
Okay, something that Carlos may have meant with this question was, you know, what are all the ways that we use ing?
Oh,
You
not
know,
just pronunciation, but the
I think that we would need probably another hour.
I think so. Yeah, that and the commas. I think we would, yeah. The gerund, using the gerund. Yeah, there's so many ways that we use the gerund. Yeah, that's a long class.
I think yesterday I wrote a post with an English tip on my website, and I talked about the use of the gerund as the subject of the sentence. For
Oh, that's a
example,
great one.
working.
That's awesome. Yeah, when we start to use gerunds as the subject of the sentence. That's good, because you're starting to show a higher level of English writing. That's awesome.
Okay, so that's one way, Carlos.
Yeah.
The subject of the sentence.
Yeah.
Steve, we've been talking for 1 hour.
How are you going to type all that out?
Yeah, I'm asking myself the same question. Hey, what are Sundays for, right?
Okay.